Hello, planet Earth, and welcome to the Redditor. This is Becca.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. So today's topic is going to be, what are some primary examples of fans of something completely missing the point of said thing? Let's check it out and see what people have answered. So the first answer is like specific to the US, so I don't get it, so I'm not gonna talk about that. But this one applies to pretty much everywhere. This next answer: people who treat politics as a team sport. And this is actually pretty accurate, because people treat it in a way like sports, like, oh, you switch side, oh, he switches sides, or something like that. Like, guys, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be about philosophical ideas about how things should be run on Earth, and not because you like this guy or this guy's popular. I've actually kind of written out some sort of theory on how people decide and what they vote for, and I made a whole document about it, and it's something that I always look back to whenever stuff like this comes up. Like, yeah, it's true, because, you know, like, the personality theater, looks, lots of aspects like that, relatability, there's so many things that people take into account, and if you mishmash them, it's so complicated to draw conclusions for specific people about specific things. So, yeah, that's pretty much something that I can put in this. And yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I have quote-unquote switched teams multiple times throughout the course of my life, but honestly, now that I think about it, I'm probably already set with what I already believe in now. Unless something drastic happens and maybe something will change, who knows. But I feel like I'm pretty much set right now. And honestly, it's normal for younger people to quote-unquote switch teams. And honestly, it's just exploring what you philosophically identify with. And that's pretty much what matters. So, because, you know, that's actually the whole point of politics. It's a philosophy of what you want a place to be run like a royalty or the republic or something. So, yeah, that's pretty much supposed to be what it is. It's not supposed to be like, hey, team A or team B, who got higher score or something. Like, that's not how it works. And you can like aspects of both without being to one side, to other side. Like, it's not the World Cup, Karen. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, so the next comment is about the TV show Rick and Morty and how people shouldn't be aspiring to be like Rick. And I have to agree. I mean, I've only watched a few episodes of that, mainly because it's a bit too on the nose for me. Like, and it's a bit too Lovecraftian for my tastes. But from what I know about it, it's like the grandpa character, Rick, is kind of not a nice character, and honestly, people shouldn't be idolizing. I mean, it's actually the same with Joker, which I'm pretty sure is going to be mentioned in this thread. I'm going to be just looking through it later on. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I can say about Rick and Morty thing. And yeah, the whole Szechuan sauce incidents, all of those contributes to the toxicity of the fan base that it has. So, I mean, you're missing the point of the whole show if you think that copying the a-hole character is a good thing, or it's a badge of honor that you're like that character. Like, you're supposed to, it's supposed to be introspective. Like, oh, I'm pretty much like that character. I think I should change something. Like, I mean, that happens to me, but with people in real life, like, it got me to think, like, maybe I shouldn't be too much like them or something. It was definitely mind-blowing to be introspective about things that you observe in shows in reality. So, I hope people in that fan base will try that, rather than going like, yes, I am like that guy. Like, that's not the point. Okay, so this next entry actually hits a bit close to home, because it's my fandom, and it's like a fandom I participated a lot. It's kind of my main fandom right now, and it's about Steven Universe fans. And how the controversy where that one Tumblr artist got threats because she accidentally drew a fat character skinny, maybe just not having that artistic skill. I mean, that's a thing. I do that because, like, I can't draw anatomically accurate humans, so most of the stuff I draw aren't even human looking, so it's a thing that is supposed to be acknowledged. Like, maybe they don't actually mean to draw the character that way. And the comment actually says that Steven Universe is a show about relationships and the guy who forgives everyone, even the people who tried to kill him. And oh my gosh, if you're a fan of the show, you will know a lot of the story. And okay, I'm like about to spoil it, but oh, the epilogue series is amazing too, and it's making me cry as usual. And yeah, his friends and the whole planet. So it's kind of ironic that there are even fans like that. Like, why would you do that? Maybe the artist just isn't that good at making art, and that's totally fine because they're learning. So this next comment is like an enumeration. I don't know some of these people, but I'm gonna go ahead and recite the enumeration. Basically, it's thinking that the following are the heroes of their stories. Walter White, I'm familiar slightly. I only know him as the guy who makes something in his TV show. Tyler Durden, no idea who that is. The Joker, oh yeah, I knew he was going to be mentioned. Travis Bickle, no idea, and etc. These guys are cautionary tales. Yeah, it's true, especially with the case of like Walter and the Joker. Like, they're not supposed to be role models, but they're just shown in a probably light-ish way because they want to show that they're human, but of course, these people are, for the most part, not good. And for the most part, morally gray to dark gray. Basically, like, if you're an artist and you're, like, picking a gray that's really, really close to black, but not quite the 000. I forgot the hexadecimal code for black, but yeah, you get the drill. It's, like, infinitely close to black, to the color, literal color black. So, yeah, it's pretty much, like, that kind of morally gray. But they still try to show that there's a sliver of hue that makes the person gray rather than just morally dark. So that's pretty much the whole point of these types of shows, and not for people to analyze them. I mean, it's kind of the same as the argument about Rick and Morty earlier with Rick as a character, and then some guy brought up Cartman from South Park. And yes, it's definitely true that these characters are not supposed to be who you are gonna be like. These are the characters who you're supposed to be. That if you're close to being like them, that in the fact that you identify with them, maybe it's time to actually take a look as to why and maybe how to not be like them. Because that's actually the whole point of these characters. Okay, so this next comment is like a double. So, two come to mind, according to this guy. Police officers who put Punisher logos on their cars. The Punisher is someone who law enforcement failed him and took measures into his own hands. So he, like, punishes people for what they've done. Because, like, justice doesn't serve or something. Maybe the justice system is a failure. And so does not really believe in it, basically, in his story. A police officer is there to protect, not to punish. Even Punisher has said this in the comics. If you want a role model, his name is Captain America. Yeah, actually. He seems more like what you're supposed to be, and like even his weapon is a shield. It's not supposed to kill, but rather to incapacitate. So it actually makes more sense rather than someone whose weapons are outright the killing machines. And the next thing that he brought up, this commenter brought up, is couples who view Harlequin and Joker relation as relationship goals. The whole point is that their relation is effed up and abusive in some cases. In some version, the Joker tortures her, turning her insane. Yeah, I mean, why would you say that's relationship goals? I feel like they just kind of like, you know, how they look goth. Yeah, I feel like that's actually the more, it's like they look like edgy goth people, and those type of people, or those people who align with that sort of personality, they think, oh yeah, they look like the type of people I want to be, so maybe they're kind of like the people I want to be, even if, yeah, the relationship isn't really goals. I mean, sure, maybe they look like goals. Harley looks good with her makeup and her darky style of outfit, and same with the Joker, but not really goals. Like, they're not supposed to be goals. Honestly, now that I realized with reading through this thread, is that most fans take personality cautionary tales and interpret them as personality goals, including relationships, people, and situations. Like, those situations aren't goals, you know. I mean, why would you want to be in those situations? Why would you want to be those people? Why would you be in those relationships? It's actually true that they're more introspective cautionary tales, and that these people misinterpreting means that they fail to read the subtext within a movie or a show. Like, I'm not that great at, like, watching and reading, like, I'm not that great at reading all the subtext. Like, I can only read and maybe analyze a portion of it, but not see through, oh, wait, that's just, like, when I go on forums about, like, a new thing I like, and I'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that that character was like that, yada yada. And then it will actually surprise me the way other people interpret the story. But there are people that go the total opposite way, that instead of, you know, these characters being introspective, they think, oh, I'm like this character, maybe I shall wear it as some sort of honor, and oh, those couple are goals, even if they totally are not, objectively are not goals. So it's kind of like a problem with reading subtext. And maybe that actually applies to real life as well. So let's continue for the thread first. So someone basically added to the discussion saying that the adoration of Harlequin is so weird too. She was a successful psychologist who was seduced and then broken in italics by the psychotic Joker. At almost every point, their relationship is shown as abusive. And that's why I've always wondered, why is it goals? Because of their art style? I'm pretty sure there's actually a bunch who think they're goals just because of the art style, or maybe their fashion choice. But actually, now that I think about it, the whole it's probably their fashion choice point of view. Maybe there are actually more people, characters, or couples that with that sort of fashion choice that you could adore and adapt, rather than taking probably a really bad example of those people. And in turn, instead of lowering the stereotype, you heighten the stereotype that people with certain fashion choices don't make good decisions and all that. And it's actually pretty, it's basically counterproductive to what you're probably trying to do with your sort of subculture or fashion choice or whatsoever. It's becoming a counterproductive thing if you idolize the wrong type of people. It's the same with people who kind of like prim and proper type of fashion choice or type of subculture. Well, not really subculture, like belief system. If you idolize people that are too on the nose about it, you become counterproductive with what you want to do. This guy actually points out that even in the DC canon / Batman, I'd see Batwoman, Poison Ivy, Catwoman as less awful role models. I mean, for like women. At least Poison Ivy is devoted to a cause, and Catwoman tries to only steal and not outright murder folks. I guess that's true, yeah. I'm not that familiar with that particular canon, because I more closely follow the storyline of Marvel, so I'm not too sure about these particular characters, but yeah, I feel like they're better characters, you know. They're better characters to like, even if you're kind of into the edgy kind of style. Or maybe entire other franchises. There are other franchises with edgy style that you can like. Yeah, which I do like. I mean, I enjoy a lot of these type of franchises. I actually might start watching Hazbin Hotel sometime soon. I'm not sure when I'll get the time, I guess. Okay, and then there's another comment to the main thread. Well, not the main thread, but like the post that I was talking about. And that's saying what I pretty much observed earlier, that he finds that almost any portrayal of an abusive relationship draws in fans of it who view it as romance. I wonder why that is. Actually, he wonders, but yeah, I just said it word for word. But anyways, yeah, actually, I do wonder why that is. Why that is the case. That the more counterproductive, the more it attracts people. Like, why? What do you like in that sort of thing? Like, it's weird because I outright see abuse when I see it. Like, I easily recognize it. Like, for example, abusive friendships in media. And I have experienced the real-life counterpart. I mean, not relationships, because I haven't had a relationship. But, I mean, abusive friendships, I can spot, like, okay, this guy's fishy. For example, I watched Percy Jackson. And then I think I was pretty late with watching it. And then I realized that, you know, the guy who Percy ends up fighting in the end, I already knew he was fishy from the start. Like, Wow, this guy immediately brought him to his team. I wonder what he wants from the guy. I wonder what he wants from Percy. And it turns out he was actually the guy who, you know, I'm not gonna spoil too much, but although it's an old movie, but you know what I mean, the people who watched it. And if you think about it, statistically speaking, most people have experienced some form of abuse, whether friendship, romance, family, or what have you. So it makes no sense how they will not recognize, outright recognize these things from the get-go. Like, it's such a weird thing to think about, right? Like, how could you not see that what Joker is doing to the girl is not good? How? And it's so dumb, okay? Also, by the way, this is one of the few canon couples where I'd rather ship the one of them with another character rather than the canon relationship. And I think in this case it's Harley x Poison Ivy, so yes, I just want to share that's an actual ship, and I actually kind of ship them, you know. Maybe Poison Ivy can help her relax and all that. So this is actually one of the few cases where maybe you'd rather ship the character with someone else rather than their canon pair. But it's weird when people project themselves into the canon pair, like, especially with a bad pair like this. Like, what? What made you like that? What? And I'm pretty sure at some point, if you like that relationship, maybe think about what relationships you're into right now, because from what I know, there's this thing called Stockholm, where you end up liking your abuser, even if they tend to abuse you. And I've had mild versions of that before, but yeah, it's an annoying thing, and at some point you don't even realize that the person is already doing something bad. Like, you're just stuck there. It's a never-ending cycle. So that's pretty much all I could say for now about abuse, because, you know, it's such a complex topic on its own, and it probably deserves its own episode on its own, if I do find a thread about it that has good points. And as for the final sub-comment to this reply, this one guy just says, "We live in a society." And honestly, that quote is actually something that makes sense, even if you remove it from the context. Like, even if you put it in context and out of context, it makes sense. Like, yeah, we live in a weird society, I guess. Okay, this next one, I could also relate to in some way. Well, not directly, but it's something I observe. So this guy talks about how people spend oodles, or a lot of money, decking out a truck with the latest and greatest rock crawling and off-roading parts. So it even applies to race parts, you know, like making your car a pretend race car. And then the vehicle spends all its life in mall parking lots with no speck of dirt. This is actually true. And it's worse when some people out there install racing-type engines with the woofers. I don't know what those things that make sound are called. Basically, they kind of amplify the sound of the engines, and they pretend to be race cars when they're in the middle of a city street. And they don't even realize that their racing car noise is being heard, like, double-digit floors up above them. I know I've kind of ranted this in a similar video before, in a similar vein before, but it's actually the most annoying thing ever. It's like, why would you do this? Why? You know your car is gonna spend almost its whole lifetime on city streets, save for the occasional out of town. But you know it's gonna be disruptive to everyone. You know people live in the streets you pass by, right? So it's easily really bad. And there's a lot of cases in subdivisions where they have been kind of banned or discouraged because it actually wakes people up and it's very annoying. So I actually agree with those types of policies. Like, if you know that you live in the city, just don't buy those type of things. They just annoy people. They don't serve their purpose of being a race car showing off its skills, because you're not even a racer. You can't even drive well. I mean, I don't drive well, but I don't make my car into a race car, you know. I mean, I know my limits. I know my place. Why would you pretend to be a race driver when you can't even drive in the night? And then, okay, so the next comment is, "I think there are way too many people who just parrot everything Tony Stark says, and not enough who are like, oh, wait a minute, they're trying to portray him as fallible, He's rationalizing and not just speaking gospel truth. Yeah, actually, from what I know, I mean, at least the modern cinema portrayal of Tony Stark is kind of meant to parody Elon Musk and his sometimes wrong decision-making despite being a very successful CEO and all. And I'm actually surprised he actually got successful with the way he kind of... He's slightly childlike at times. Like, he's nice. He definitely wants positive things to happen to the world, but his heart is sometimes in the wrong place. Like, you know, the Thailand incident and so many others, I guess. And he breaks a lot, which is... And that, my friends, was the thing I was talking about. The racing engines. You are not a race driver by doing that. You're a nuisance. Basically, the issue with CEOs nowadays, and basically people who own businesses, like big businesses I'm talking about, they try to defend their business as much as they could without even stepping back and realizing maybe there's something wrong with your business model. Maybe there's a reason people distrust you or something. You know, the EA Reddit issue? I remember that. Man, that was a lot of downvotes, I gotta tell you. A downvote is basically like a negative vote. So your score in Reddit can be like negative. That was like a glorious moment. And people actually gave the thing, the PR person gold. Well, I mean, that wasn't the CEO, but definitely that was the CEO speaking to a PR person. So that was a hilarious moment. And yeah, there are so many other moments where maybe they should step back and think without defending their business all the time. Because there are times that, hey, I don't defend the podcast I'm doing all the time. Like, oh, maybe I said something wrong. Oh, I blanked out on my English in, like, my second episode from what I remembered. But it's something you learn from. Like, you've made mistakes before, you've learned from them. And you don't try to erase it from the minds of people. Like how my Spotify records still have those episodes. And my season and episode thing in Anchor is actually pretty messed up right now because it's, like, full of random... It's like there are some episodes that have no season, but there are some episodes that are labeled season one. Officially, this is season one, though. So, yeah, that's pretty much... It's just a mess right now. And I'm actually trying to work. Maybe in the weekends, I'll be putting episode numbers on everything because I forget my episode numbers. It's annoying. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, there's a lot more I could talk about with regards to the CEO issue. But, yeah, that's pretty much... all I can think about, and I just hope that someday there'd be, like, more rational business leaders who don't justify everything. Like, you don't have to defend everything you do. Maybe people make mistakes. You are a people. You make mistakes. So, it's fine. It's not something that you have to be totally ashamed about. I mean, you have to be ashamed if the mistake led to, like, hurting people or worse. But that point of shame, maybe you should give back to the community and actually being a nicer person this time around. I mean, as a person, we've all done that. We've hurt people. But in the end, we came back and became nicer. You know, and that's how we recover. It's a cycle. It's a never-ending cycle of being a human. And I hope these people realize that. You know, they don't have to be right all the time. They just have to be at the utmost accurate. Like, for example, scientists. You know, the issues right now with false studies, like the cholesterol one and all that. These people don't really have to defend what they did back then, but instead learn from it and apply it in the future. I mean, that's how science works, after all. And the same with business. I mean, actually, there's a lot of similarities in fields that seem different, but people just think they are different. They're totally different, but in reality, they have a lot of similarities in the way they think, in the way people do things. You know, for example, in my field, well, quote-unquote my field, because I'm still studying it, in mathematics, we actually have to defend our theorems. But if we prove or quote unquote defend that they turns out they are wrong, or basically we disprove them, basically undefend, what happens is, okay, this is wrong. Turns out I was wrong. That's just the cycle. You don't have to be right all the time. I mean, hey, when I was like a first grader, I didn't know how to add tree addends, so I got a 0 in a test about it. So it was actually a hilarious moment of life because turns out I ended up being good in math in the long run. So it was an irony that actually came from a mistake that I did back then. And also, as you can hear from the engine noises, I live in a big city, so I hope you don't mind them. They're annoying at times, but Yeah, I just pause them and I just pause and edit if they're too loud. But yeah, I hope. But for the most part, they're not intrusive, I guess. I have only paused when it's like the train system passes by. With and I've mentioned that before. Anyways, let's just move on. Move on with the thread. Okay, this next one. We all know this. Everyone who was in social media in like 2014 knows this. The Ice Bucket Challenge. Basically, the Ice Bucket Challenge was supposed to emulate some disease. Okay, I think it was to do with the nerves. I forgot what it was specifically. But basically, it was supposed to emulate some disease. You were supposed to challenge a person to either donate $10 to a charity or experience something related similar to the disease that the charity is supposed to cure or find a prevention or something. I forgot actually the specifics of it. But what it ended up being like a meme, like a proto meme before big memes were even a thing. So it was like, why? You'd rather do that. And it became like a challenge for people to. They took the challenge as the term for can you withstand the ice bucket rather than challenge to. Will you donate to charity? It became counterintuitive. It was silly, but I'm not even surprised humans decided to go for that. Like, decided to go the route that was meme-y rather than going for a more, you know, a more helpful route by actually donating the $10. Like, imagine if those people who made viral videos actually also donated. Like, actually from what I know, a good chunk actually did, but from what I knew later, more people were just in it for the meme. Like, that's not the point at all. I actually tried it, though, and I'm not sure if it was just the type of thing I used, but it was just like taking a cold shower. But, yeah, it's... And I really can't donate because I'm actually broke and a college student right now. And back then, I was an eighth grader. So it's like, I mean, people who are capable should donate. But I guess if you challenge a kid to do it, you don't expect imagine, but still, it's mostly adults challenging each other at the time. It felt weird, basically. Sorry for the rambling about that. That was a strange tangent to get into. But yeah, this is true because the point was to donate so you don't other people won't have to experience the thing that throwing ice buckets on you will help make you experience. Instead, everyone was like, okay, let's meme this. Let's throw buckets at each other. That's not the point at all. I mean, you know. And then there were entire celebrities that made it. Like, you could donate a shit ton of money to those charities. Why won't you do so? So, the whole thing felt silly. Oh, yeah. And one more thing I had to bring up about the challenge is that is something similar to what the replies actually said here. In that, they meant that it became less about the disease and more about the challenge. The challenge to get the ice thrown at you to the point where the charity or the disease wasn't even brought up anymore. Actually, by the time it reached where I live, it was a more meme type challenge. I didn't even know anything about some disease until like 2 weeks from the time I learned about the challenge. So instead of informing people about the thing, maybe imagine if I was a person capable of donating and I could have donated, but instead it became about the whole throw something really cold. It became, why? Okay, so this episode was pretty much all about humans' interpretation of popular culture things and actual concepts like abuse, disease, and all that. And how they've kind of shaped certain things, like challenges and relationships, and how maybe some things will change and be more introspective. Like, heck, even the Ice Bucket Challenge has some introspectiveness in it. Like, how you're supposed to look into, would you rather hurt yourself? Well, basically, it was supposed to hurt yourself. Like, I'm not sure why some people were kind of immune to the effect, but yeah, I think it was supposed to hurt you. Or just give $10 to the charity. And giving the $10 would have been a really good thing. But it became a thing to do things. It just feels weird that it's always the negative being emphasized. Like Joker and Walter White. You know, these types of people that aren't supposed to be emphasized. But they are the ones being put in the limelight. Like, hold on a sec. I mean, Joker was the villain of the original series for a reason. It just... It felt weird when people do this. Like, obviously these people have a reason to be like this. Like, okay, I'm starting to talk about more of people now rather than concepts, like the throwing eyes over you. I've gone back to talking about people. But it's just, these people are supposed to be reflections of what society does to people or what people do to themselves in some cases. So it should be something people understand, that these people are not supposed to be role models, but rather people that are a cautionary tale for what could happen if things go really wrong, like Joker, society breaking him, and Harlequin, Joker breaking him. Actually, from what I've noticed about Joker and Harlequin, it became a cycle. Some people abused Joker to the point he became like that, and then he ended up abusing his own psychiatrist to be like that. So it's a bit ironic that people think this cycle is actually good, but in fact it isn't. I actually watched a show that deals with this pretty well, She-Ra and the Princess of Power on Netflix. And it shows how you can break the cycle. Like, the main character went and broke the cycle, but the main villain, actually the second main villain, because the first main villain was their quote-unquote mother. Basically, there's a long story. It's kind of hard to explain over a portion of an episode like this, but essentially there's like a deep lore into it as to why they're like that. But essentially, they're kind of like siblings slash best friends who broke... One of them broke away from the abuse and realized that what they thought was a negative was actually something good. And what they thought was good was actually bad. But the sibling slash best friend of hers didn't like the change, so she kind of preferred the cycle and still believed in what their mother believed in. And basically, I couldn't explain more without spoiling, so just give it a go yourself. It's actually a really good Netflix series. It advertises itself as for kids, but it really isn't. There's a lot of, like, subtext in it that it's really good to explore, actually. And also, it's pretty inclusive. It's actually really amazing to watch. Especially if you're feeling down in the dumps and you just need some action in your life without being too bloody and all that. It deals in the safe side of action. Yeah, I prefer that because I don't like bloody stuff. Like, it puts me off, basically. And another plus side, this show actually has fans who, while staying within the theme of this episode, actually understands what the show is supposed to be telling you, that you shouldn't believe everything, etc., etc. Like there could be two sides to every story and all of that, and there's so many things you can learn. And better, a really good one, actually, that I love, is that they broke the strict mother is evil trope. Like it kind of infuriates me that all the time, strict mothers in stories like iCarly, Rapunzel, you name it, they're interpreted as like this really, really big bad character. Like, it's either annoying or outright evil. When in fact, there's a gray area. You could say there's a reason they're like that, and then there's actually a reason they're doing something like this. It feels weird when they are automatically assigned the annoying or bad role. Like, they could be good people too. Like, basically the queen in She-Ra is actually like that. She's a nice but strict person, and there's valid reason why she's strict towards her child, who is the heir to the throne. And, well, not only just for the fact that she's the only heir to the throne, but there's so many other reasons that I won't get into without spoiling anything, so just give it a go. It's actually a really good show. And I am in no way sponsored by that show. I'm just telling you genuinely because it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, it's one of the best. I could safely say one of the best modern cartoons. Up there with Steven Universe. Really good. Yeah, it's basically a similar theme, basically. Aliens, wars, gay space aliens, I guess. Yeah, it's really good. I guess I have a type, you know. Anyways, that's pretty much it for today's episode. Thank you. Be sure to rate me 5 stars on Podchaser. Follow my podcast on Spotify. And follow me on Reddit at TheRedditor_TWT. I sometimes post updates there. And join my Patreon at patreon.com/TheRedditor. And of course, like my Facebook page, The Redditor Podcast. I sometimes post up there. It's there too if I'm not busy. So thank you all, and I'll see you all next time. Goodbye.